Good morning. Happy Quarantine Sunday, this Sunday, May 3rd. Lord willing, this may be our last one. It is our prayer and our hope that the governor will open things up Friday, May 8th, and we can assemble again for the first time in a long time, Sunday, May 10th. Again, that is our prayer and our hope and something we look forward to. To prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper this Sunday, May 3rd, we're going to sing along to the words to the hymn, He Could Have Called 10,000 Angels. As we sing along, I encourage you to sing, and I encourage you to listen and pay attention to the words of the hymn as we sing along with it. Good morning again. The song that we just sang along to, He Could Have Called 10,000 Angels, reminds us that even though He went to be the sacrifice for sins once for all time, for all our sakes, He didn't have to. It reminds us back to that scene in the garden when Peter drew his sword to defend him, and he told him to put away your sword. Don't you know that I have at my command 12 legions of angels? And while 12 legions of angels is quite a far more than 10,000, more upwards towards 60,000 and above, the song gets the point across that he didn't have to do it if he didn't want to. And it reminds us of his absolute submission to the Father when he prayed there in the garden that night, not my will be done, but your will be done. He submitted himself to the Father and had the ability and power within himself to stop it. In fact, it seems that those that mocked him while hanging on the cross seemed to recognize this too. While they said, he saved others, but he can't save himself, others were crying out, save yourself, come down from the cross. Even those that were crucified on either side of him were even saying at some point, both of them were saying, according to the Matthew account, save yourself and us. Bring us both down from the cross. Bring all of us down. He had the ability to save himself. And unlike sacrifices in the past, sacrifice made on behalf of someone else did not have the power within itself. That atonement lamb, that flawless, perfect lamb, for both the Passover lamb and the lamb of atonement for the Day of Atonement, they didn't have the ability within themselves to stop. Even if they ran away, they only delayed the sacrifice. They couldn't stop it. They didn't have it in their power. They were going to be sacrificed at the will of someone else. Jesus, our perfect sacrifice, as we looked at last week, 1 Corinthians 5:7 calls him our Passover. He was different than the other sacrifice. While he fit the bill of the perfect, flawless, sinless Lamb of God as our Passover, he was different in that he had the ability to stop it, and yet he willingly submitted himself to it. I want us to read from Isaiah 53. In Isaiah 53, and we're going to begin picking up in verse 3. So read with me in Isaiah 53 and verse 3. Speaking of him, and I want you to notice the language here as we read this text. It's a familiar text to us, but pay attention to the language again. It speaks of it in past tense. God is so, his word is so assured that this is going to take place. Isaiah is speaking of it, even though it's hundreds of years before the event, over 700 years before the event. It's so sure, he's talking about it in the past tense. So read with me, Isaiah 53, verse 3. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that's led to slaughter, and like a sheep that's silent before it shears, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people, to whom the stroke was due? His grave was assigned with wicked men, yet with a rich man, or yet he was with a rich man in his death, because he had done no violence, nor is there any deceit in his mouth. As we read the words of that text, reminding us he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, he was like the lamb led to slaughter, he opened not his mouth. Reminds us again of that scene at the trial where Pilate asked him, do you not answer me? We can look in John 18. Do you not answer me? I have the power of life and death over you. To which Jesus answered, you would have neither authority over me unless it was given to you from above. Jesus told Peter, reminding his disciples, his words echoing down through the ages to us today, reminding us he had the power and ability to stop it. But he was willingly and obediently, as Philippians 2, 5-11 reminds us, led to the cross, where he laid down his life for his friends and for the hands of the godless men that put him there. He took upon himself the sins of all of us, to whom the stroke was due. To him all praise, honor, glory, love, and thanksgiving are due him for that sacrifice, that only in him and in his blood can we find the freedom from our sins, because he paid it all, willingly and sacrificially. And he asks us to love one another the way he loved us. And as he asks us, as we gather on the first day of the week, to remember him this way, to remember him in the bread, and to remember him in the fruit of the vine. And so let us do that now, as we read just a few more passages, starting in Luke chapter 22 and verse 19. Luke chapter 22 and verse 19. Sorry about that. There, that's what I was trying to do. Luke 22 and verse 19 says, "And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" You notice he didn't say taken for you. He said given. He had the ability to stop it, but he went forward, knowing it was the sacrifice that we needed. Let's give thanks to our Almighty God for having the foresight and the wisdom and the love to go through with a plan set in motion from the foundations of the world, from before the foundations of the world, that you and I might be free from sin and one day live with him in his eternal home. Our Father in heaven, we bow before you, thanking you for this day. We're thanking you for the opportunities that we have on the first day of the week to gather together. And in this time period, as we gather in small groups and groups of less than 10, knowing you're not far away from us, we ask for your blessings on this bread as we partake of it, remembering that sacrifice, remembering your Son, that he willingly, lovingly shed his own blood, gave his body up to be broken, and hung on a cross for our sins. Let us never make that common or vain in our lives, but give you all thanks, glory, and honor, and our love that's due you, and praise you for that great sacrifice. It's in your Son's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Pause a few seconds, and to give you time to pause the video, if you'd like, or to partake of the bread here in a few seconds before we give thanks for the cup. Let's go ahead and give thanks for the fruit of the vine at this time. It represents Jesus' blood. On the night in which he was betrayed, as we can read from Matthew 26, 27, and 28, it says, "And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins.'" Let's give thanks. Our Father in heaven, we come before you again, thanking you for the sacrifice of your Son, that he willingly, lovingly gave himself over to those who would abuse his body, who would pierce his brow with a crown of thorns, who would scourge him, who then would place a cross on his already beaten and wearied shoulders, and having led through the streets of Jerusalem in shame and humiliation to the place of his own execution, where he would be hung on that cross, blood flowing mingled down his body, flowing freely, knowing that it was for our sins that put him there, knowing it was for our sins that held him there, and knowing for our sins he endured the cross, so that we don't grow weary and lose heart, as the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 12. We're so thankful to you, Father, for that sacrifice. We're so thankful for the love that was shown there for us, and ask that as we partake of this fruit of the vine, as it represents your Son's blood, as we partake of it, that we might do so remembering him and the sacrifice and the price for the freedom from sin. It's in your Son's most holy and precious name that we offer this prayer and love and thanksgiving. In his name, amen. Have a great rest of your Sunday.